Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are available through both of those websites. So if there's ever a topic that you wish you knew more about, check those out. There might be something that will be that will pertain to your question. So at yourfinancialchoices.com and wdiy.org. Welcome to the show. Today is November 16th, 2016. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 18,868, the NASDAQ at 5294, and the S&P at 2176. We are live. Tonight we are discussing the who, what, why, when, where, and how of estate planning. So think about that for a minute. The who, what, why, when, where, and how of estate planning. I'm going to try to break this down for you tonight and make it a little bit easier, a little bit more approachable in such a way that you can get your work done and get your house in order. Lori C. is in the studio with us tonight. She'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and I'll do my best to answer them. The number this evening is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Always happy to have questions. And again, you can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. I want to just mention a few things. Number one, the last couple weeks I had done shows on divorce, and those podcasts, I believe, are available now. And you may not be getting a divorce. You might know people who are, since it seems like half of the marriages end up in divorce. If you want more information about that, we had a couple shows that I thought were really, really great. One was with an author named Stan Corey, who wrote a book called The Divorce Dance, and he talks about the cast of characters who are involved, whether it's mediators, attorneys, financial advisors, and the parties themselves, but especially the children as well, and how to kind of do that dance in such a way that you preserve preserve your assets by doing it in a friendly way, but also preserve your relationships for your children as well. And then last week we had two attorneys, Alan Tullar and Connie Nelson from Gross McGinley on, and we talked about some of the things you need to be aware of if you're going down that path and how to make that a little bit easier kind of transition to go through. All right, so those should be available on our podcast. I also wanted to mention that as I was driving in tonight, I heard a segment on All Things Considered about Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I was born in Pawpaw, Michigan, lived in Kalamazoo, Michigan for many years, went to college there. And so I just want to give a little shout out to Kalamazoo because I love Kalamazoo and all the great things that are going on there, which we have philanthropists who are helping with donations, I guess, contributions to the city of Kalamazoo that's helping lower taxes to help the community so that people have more to spend and to attract businesses. And it's very, very interesting because I don't think that's probably happens too often around the country. I bet it's not sure if it's happened at all to the extent that they're getting help. So that was in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I thought that was interesting. The other item I wanted to mention is I just attended an event to kick off the 50th anniversary of Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. They are a great foundation resource in our community to help the needs of that we have, whether it's, you know, education, science, environment, just so many different needs that we have in our community that the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation helps by pairing their donations and grant making to the needs in our community. So congratulations to Lehigh Valley Community Foundation on what will be their 50th anniversary in 2017. And lots of information will be coming out over the next year or so about ways that we can all get involved with our Lehigh Valley Community Foundation and ways that organizations can benefit from grants that are there. So that was a wonderful event, and we will have a representative from the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation on the show in January to talk about their Spark grants. So that is a lot of good information. So thanks for your patience with that. We will start our show talking about the who, what, why, where, when, and how of estate planning. And again, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Estate planning is one of my favorite topics to cover. I think it's one that people try to avoid the most, and my talking about it is my effort to make it seem not so scary. Don't think about it like you're going to die. I'm thinking, is that what keeps everyone from doing it? So if that's what's keeping you from doing it, then don't think about it that way. Think about it like you're going on a trip. Don't you have someone watch your house when you leave? Don't you make sure the plants are watered, the pets are fed, the lawn is maintained? That's what estate planning is, just part of taking care of the homestead. I've done some recent presentations on this and really see the continued need for conversations around this. I think the holidays are the best time to discuss this because this is when families are getting together. Many of the people who are involved or who will be involved in your estate planning, whether it's caretaking of you before something happens, caretaking after something happens, it's caretaking of the homestead, caretaking of the estate. A lot of those people, those most important people to you, are usually around, sometimes around the holidays. They're available. This is the time when you want to engage in conversations, engage in the what ifs. And I think what happens sometimes is adult children are afraid to raise these questions with their elderly parents because they don't want to appear to be money grabbing, you know, money grabbing, trying to, you know, what's my inheritance? What am I getting? Counting their money before they get it. You know, so I think that is what keeps these conversations from ensuing. And I think that if we, as either the parties that need the estate planning, maybe we're the elderly parents or the elderly aunt or uncle, and we haven't had these conversations with our loved ones, whether it's our children, our niece, our nephew, our partners, our good friends, whoever might be that trusted person in your life who you need to be there for you, whether it's a healthcare agent, a power of attorney, a trustee, an executor. You need to have these conversations. See if they're comfortable with it. See if they're going to meet your needs. Are they a good person? Just because they're your best friend doesn't mean they might be the person that you need to administer your estate. Or maybe they don't want to do it. Maybe it makes them stressed out or nervous, and there could be someone else that you could pick. So around the holidays is a great time to start having these conversations. It could go like, hey, have you ever done any estate planning? Hey, do you have a will? Do you have a trust? What do you think about a power of attorney? What are you guys doing? It doesn't always mean that you have to talk about the dollars. And that's where I think sometimes it gets off the tracks. you don't have to tell your kids what you're worth necessarily, but it's a great time during the holidays to talk about these things, get everybody on board, and it could really be a service to your children as well, because they too themselves may have to do their own estate planning. So when we come back from this first break, we're going to go through that process of the who, what, why, when, where, and how. And if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Sieber. We did have a call come in off air. Peter from Allentown called and asked what can be done if this is in relation to our shows that we did the past couple of weeks regarding divorce. He said, what could be done if the other party in a divorce stonewalls? Peter, I'm not an attorney and the attorneys aren't here tonight, but I would expect that what ends up happening is, at least I know in Lehigh County, the master would probably, and I can't speak for him, I better not say that, but what I could see happening is it would end up going to court. So, Peter, what happens sometimes is there's usually you're hoping for some kind of an agreement between the two parties and working with the attorneys, and then maybe working with a master who will help kind of negotiate a good settlement or, you know, some type of agreement that you're both willing to accept. And if one of the parties isn't willing to do that, then I believe it does go to court. And that drags out the time. It drags out, and it also costs a lot more. So I would expect that it doesn't mean if one's stonewalling that you can't get divorced. It's just going to further complicate it and cost lots and lots of extra money. So you want to work with your attorney and ask your attorney to work with the other party's attorney to avoid it going down that path, I would say, because it's just a lot of extra cost. So I hope that helps a little bit. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, I'm not an attorney, and you can consult with your attorney, and hopefully they'll work together. But there are, I believe, some remedies to that. All right. And Gross McGinley has a website you can go. I believe it's grossmcginley.com if you would like to look at some information they may have available there or contact information. Those were the attorneys who were on last week. All right. So if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we can talk on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. Let's talk about the process of estate planning, which I call the who, what, why, when, where, and how. I think it's just so easy to have like little terms that help you through the process that will make it easier for you and help you get over the hurdles that you have. So number one, let's pretend this has nothing to do with you dying. This has to do with you going on a trip. So when you take a trip to a new place, do you look up the directions? Yeah, you look up the directions. So what I want to talk about is the why is in the when. So when you're looking up directions, do you get a map or put the destination in the GPS? Would you send your loved ones on a trip with no directions? You are doing just that if you do not have an estate plan. When do you plan to have an accident? When do you plan to have a disease? When do you plan to die? You don't. That's why your when has to be now. And your why is because without a map, directions, or GPS, those left behind are lost. and they're lost concerning your affairs. All right, so that's our why and our when. So let's talk about the who for a minute. And I have seen where people really get stymied, that are frozen in moving forward because they can't think about the who. So what are we talking about when we say the who? When we talk about the who of planning, we need to put faces to that beyond ourselves. If you're single, maybe you don't have anyone who relies on you, but will you have to rely on someone if something happens to you physically or mentally? Who is the first person that you would have to ask for help? If you haven't had conversations with that person or those people, now is the time. So remember when I said, you know, holidays are coming up, Thanksgiving's coming up. Who are you going to see for Thanksgiving? If you're a single person and you feel like, you know, maybe you don't have parents alive anymore, maybe you don't have siblings, who is that person that you like to spend time with? Maybe they're the person that you would want to ask to be involved in your estate planning. Will they be there for you and able to help? If you have minor children, who will be the guardian if something happens to the primary caregivers? You know, when you're in a mother-father relationship, husband-wife, whatever, there's two parties around to take care of the children. You can't always assume that one will survive. If you go to dinner together, something could happen. It's always better to plan. What happens if something happens to both of you? Who would be that person that you would want to raise and nurture your children? So when you consider that who, you might also have to think about the geographical locations. Who, you know, do you want your children to stay in local schools? Is there a family member who's more local? Are they still an okay person? Are they, will they do the job of nurturing your children? You want to think about the geography, or do you want them uprooted and sent to California? Do they have the financial means? You may have taken care of your children or your heirs financially. Maybe everything will be okay, and that works. Sometimes you might not have set them up. Maybe you don't have the financial means maybe right now. Maybe you're only 30 and you have a one-year-old and you're not advanced in your career. You haven't built up a lot of assets, but you have this little child. You want to make sure you look at risk management and your insurance and if there is going to be resources available to any future caregiver. But if not, is the person that you've named as the guardian someone that would be able to handle having another child or two children or three children, however many you have in the house? Maybe you need to think about religious beliefs. Maybe, you know, one side of the family is one religion and the other side of the family is the other religion, and you want your kids brought up a particular way. That might make a difference who you might pick as a guardian. Are they stable? Are they in a stable relationship? Okay, so you want to think all of these things through. And this also does not have to be a family member when we're talking about a guardian. My husband and I were named as guardians in a number of friends' documents because they didn't want their kids to go with a family member. So we raised our hands and we said, sure, we'll do it. Those kids are adults now, so we don't have to worry about it anymore. But there were a number of friends that we've had that have asked us to do that. So the who could be, again, who's going to help take care of you? Who is going to help take care of your children? When we're asking the question who, it also applies for your executor or trustee or your power of attorney selection. The person who will be the guardian of your minor children, again, doesn't have to be that executor or trustee. You can separate those duties. Some people don't realize that. So that could be something that is hanging you up. Like, oh, golly, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. We want, you know, my brother Mark to be the, you know, guardian, but he's not good with money. So who, what should we do? Well, you can pick different people. So what you want to make sure is that you're going through this process of the who, thinking about who you're going to use to help with executor, power of attorney, health agent, who's going to help make health directive decisions with you or for you if you're incapacitated. Who do you have to take care of? Minor children, maybe yourself. And who is going to kind of help you put this all together? All right. So the who is also looking at the geographical location of where that who is as well. Folks, we're coming up on our second break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about estate planning. The who, what, where, when, why, and how. Practice saying that fast. And taking your questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We can take questions live on air or off air. We had a call come in from Bill in Easton. He said he is with his 98-year-old mom. That's wonderful. She has 11 children and no husband. What should she have in place? She is very spry, but recently had some surgery. So what are three or five necessary things to do or that she should do? What are three or five necessary things she should do? Bill, congratulations to your mom, 98 years old. I think it's wonderful that she's with you. And I think it's great when we also have these conversations around the holidays to talk about what happens when our parents become at such an age or a place in their life that it maybe is a little bit harder for them to live independently. And what a wonderful opportunity that she can live with you. So many older people, I think, do so much better when they can live, either stay at home or live in a family member's home. It's great. So if she does not have a will, Bill, the first thing she would have to do is do an inventory of assets, and she might not have any assets. Maybe she just lives on Social Security and the grace of you letting her live with you. So if she just has Social Security, there's no life insurance policies, there's no bank accounts, the money comes in and goes back out. There, I'm not sure how much she would have to do. What happens in Pennsylvania if you don't have a will and there are assets in her name alone and they're not otherwise passed to someone through titling or beneficiary designation, and let's say she has a bank account in her name alone, then it would fall under the intestate rules. Now, again, I'm not an attorney, and you should see an attorney if need be, but what happens is there are some small estate provisions. Or if maybe the money is used to pay for funeral expenses. So there are some other provisions to help do the administration if there is something that was in mom's name alone. But without a will, I usually tell people to have a will. It might be important for her to have some health directives or a living will to say what her wishes are in the event something happens and she, you know, goes into the hospital. What kind of measures does she want taken as far as, you know, life support and all of that? So I would expect that she could do some living will. An attorney could help with all of that, and you might need a power of attorney as well. Sometimes what happens is we find out that people have assets that we didn't realize they had, and then it could get a little bit more complicated. So I as you listen to the rest of the show, you're going to hear what I'm talking about, the what, which would be kind of the next section, which is taking inventory of the assets and liabilities and insurances. And some things that people will do, they might use asset titling like joint bank accounts or beneficiary designations to kind of avoid probate, which means avoiding going to the courthouse and naming an executor if you have non-probate assets that pass via the asset titling or beneficiary designation, typically you need like a death certificate. So are there some ways to manage some of the estate assets and the passing of those? But with 11 children, what you wouldn't want to run into is a family member saying that maybe you use duress to make accounts joint with you or something like that. So it's not going to hurt to go visit an attorney and talk about that. So listen to the rest of the show because I am going to talk about some more issues around that. Right now I have another call on line one. We have Mike in Coopersburg. Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, how can I help you?
Well, you've raised some very interesting points, and the most salient of which, or the most pressing of which, is the issues that I'm facing with my aging mother,
mm-hmm.
and I'm wondering when the best time would be to set up power of attorney. Now, we have done health care proxies.
Oh, good.
I am the executor of her estate.
Mm-hmm.
I do have two siblings,
mm-hmm.
and she is coming to the point where she is having cognitive issues, not significant, just memory mm-hmm. issues, although mm-hmm. to hear her tell it, she thinks more of it than it really is. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I don't want to wait until it's too late
mm-hmm.
And create more problems than I'll solve.
Yeah, I would probably go do it right away, Mike, because it doesn't hurt to have it. I mean, other than it costs a little bit money to have an attorney do it. But
right.
The security it's going to give you to have it done in case anything happens. I always tell people, I'd rather you do it because chances are nothing will happen. It's when you don't do it that something seems to always happen. So, you know, there were some updates in Pennsylvania's power of attorney, I don't know what they call it, laws, legislation, whatever. So it would be a good time because it will kind of give you maybe some of the powers that you need, but also some protections, because I think
right.
that's what they were trying to do also, is to give the agents a little bit of protection.
Yeah.
And so I think just do it sooner than later, especially if she's worried about cognitive issues, because the attorneys, when they're doing these, they have to make sure that they have, you know, cognitive
exactly.
ability. So,
right.
Yeah. And frankly, if she has a will, if she went to an attorney for that will, a lot of times they'll have that information and they can kind of whip up those powers of attorney along with the will if
yes.
needed.
Yeah, well, the will has been done. It,
mm-hmm.
it is strikingly simple.
Okay. Well, that's okay, but as long as she has something, so good. And then did you have another question?
Well, the other question was involving my own situation, and
mm-hmm.
I basically know the answer to this. I'm recently married after a long period of not so much indecision, but thinking it wasn't necessary. And we have a blended family,
uh-huh.
and there are significant assets on both sides.
Uh-huh.
There are trust funds, and I know that we just need to get our act together and put something down on paper to make sure that everything passes forward in the manner in which we intend.
Right. Well, I love talking about blended families. In fact, I'm going to put it out there in the air right now. I plan on writing a book on this. I just have to sit down and do it. But where I think some people get confused, and why I think it needs attention, and I think it's good that you do it, and I think the holidays, again, are a great time to do it. Number one, I think it's important, especially if it's adult children that we're talking about in the blended family at all. I think it's
yes.
important for all the children to kind of understand a little bit about where you're coming from. And again, they don't always have to know numbers, but I think it's important for them to know your wishes. One of the things I see, Mike, that happens sometimes is if, let's pretend there's a joint house, or maybe the house is in just one party or the other. I have seen stepchildren kick step-parents out of the house, and, you know, I'm talking about sometimes a 90-year-old mother, and it's just so sad to see. So I think it's really important to have those conversations. The only way, a lot of folks don't understand how the assets are controlled. They'll think if their wills say, oh, 50% to my kids and 50% to your kids, and one kid might be on one side of the family and five kids might be on the other side of the family. And then you die and the kids will say, hey, that's not fair. I'm only getting, you know, one fifth of half. And this the other kid's getting a half of the estate and dad did all the work and mom didn't do anything. You know, stepmom didn't do it. There's so much confusion. So I think it's really important to make sure you understand the numbers and understand how it's going to get controlled. Because let's pretend you have all the assets. If you, let's say it's a retirement account, you have a $1 million retirement account, and you say, it's going to go to my wife, and then after she's gone, she's going to split it half between her kids and half between my kids. Well, you really can't control that anymore, because once you've named a spouse the beneficiary, the spouse controls that asset. So whether the surviving spouse inherits it via beneficiary designation or asset titling, they control it and they can change anything they want. So you mentioned you have trust. Trust are a way to control some of that. And it can get complicated, but it's all doable. And I think it needs, you know, it garners the attention it needs. And I think it's important to do that inventory, write it all down, and make sure you follow the threads of the numbers. So it can be done, but it's good. And I'm glad you brought it up.
I think the rule to remember is you cannot be too specific.
Exactly, exactly. And it's amazing what people fight over. So I'm going to my next break, Mike. I hope I answered your question enough. And
yes, you did. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for listening. Have a good night. Folks, when we come back, we'll take more questions if you have them. 610-758-8810. And I'll answer Megan's question when I come back. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
I think so.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And you are listening to WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 49 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, isolated showers, lows around 40. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, sunny skies each day with highs in the low 60s. And Sunday, chance of showers, highs around 45 degrees. The time now is 6:32 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. And Megan from Easton called in and she had a question. She has two powers of attorney that she would like to use. One is in Pennsylvania and a backup person in Chicago. And she asked, how can I get the paperwork witnessed by two people in different locations? Megan, again, I have to say I'm not an attorney, but what happens typically is you have a notary page and the witness page. And I would expect that you would have your local person, you know, sign and have the witnesses and notarized here. And those pages, those the copy of the power of attorney and the witness page and notary page could be sent to the person in Chicago and they sign there and return it to you. And then you combine the documents. So if you're working with an attorney, I'm sure that they could walk you through that as well. But there are situations where people are not local and you send the document and have it signed and notarized where they are. So that should be able to work. I don't think that, you know, should be a problem, but you can discuss that with your attorney as well. Folks, if you have questions on air or off air, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. I have to tell you, I have so much great energy after coming back from that Lehigh Valley Community Foundation event. I love helping people in the community. So, and I love talking about estate planning. So what are we talking about tonight? We are talking about the who, what, why, where, when, and how of estate planning. So the why is because you need to leave your loved one's heirs a map. That is the why. And the when is because you don't want them to get lost. Go ahead and do it. So we're trying to make this easy for you. That's the incentive. Let's get it done. The who we've talked about. The who is yourself, taking care of yourself with powers of attorney, living wills, health directives, you know, making sure you might need trust during your lifetime, estate planning documents, your will. The who could be your children. The who could be your charities. We mentioned Lehigh Valley Community Foundation. The who could be your charity. It could be nieces and nephews. It could be brothers and sisters. It could be your parents. The who, your heirs. The what. Let's talk about the what. The what is your assets, liabilities, and insurances. Life insurance is an asset. If you die and you have life insurance, that's going to someone. If you have a named beneficiary, that's passing outside of your estate. If you have retirement accounts with named beneficiaries, that's passing outside of your estate. Many people don't realize this. They think that all their assets are going to pass the way their will says. And that is not necessarily so, because the will is covering those assets that become the responsibility of the executor. They're the probate assets. They're the assets that we don't know who is going to get them or how they're passing. And how do we not know? If I have a joint bank account with my spouse, I know who that's going to. It's going to my spouse. If I have a named beneficiary on an account, I know who that's going to. It's going to that named beneficiary. If I have investments in my name alone, who do I know who it goes to? It's in my name alone. There's no titling. There's no beneficiary designation. How do I know who it goes to? Well, the next thing is we look to see if we have a will. If we have a will, the will is going to tell us who it goes to. That is a probate asset then. That is goes through our estate. And if my estate, my will, says all of it goes to my husband if he's alive, and if not him, then my three children, that's what our executor does with that. If I don't have a will, I didn't have my account by title, it's not joint, I don't have a beneficiary, I don't have a will, who does it go to? Well, the state will tell us who it goes to. It's called an intestate estate, and the state will tell us who the asset is going to. And it is surprising to learn how many people are wrong in the answer to who their estate will go to if they die. So if I die and I'm married and I have an account in my name alone and we have an intestate estate, if I don't have a will, I have three children. That account isn't necessarily all going to my husband if I reside in Pennsylvania. So many people think, well, it automatically goes to your spouse. That is not true. So you have to understand the laws of the state where you live, or at least you have to have an attorney who understands the laws for the state in which you live. So we need to take an inventory. Take an inventory of your assets, your liabilities, and in your insurances. And when you're taking that inventory, it's not about just looking at what the asset values are. It's what kind of an account is it? Is it a joint account? Is it an IRA? Is it a Roth IRA? Is it an annuity? Is it a life insurance policy? Do I have joint titling on it? Do I have transfer on death? Do I have payable on death? Do I have beneficiary designations, primary beneficiary designations, contingent beneficiary designations? It can be a lot of fun figuring all this out. It really can. If you're stressed out about it, just change your attitude about it. Don't be stressed out about it. Be excited about it. It could be really good. And if you're someone who says, well, I don't really have anything, and it stresses me out to think about that, well, I find that the people who think they don't have anything are usually the people who do, and the people who think they have something are the ones who usually don't. So if you don't think you have anything and it's not worthwhile doing this, you might be the very person who needs it the most. And I have to tell you, a lot of times we have people who find out that they have assets they didn't realize they had. There's group life insurance that pops up once in a while at work, and you didn't realize it, you didn't remember it, you forgot about it. You started working at the company 25 years ago when you were single and young and carefree, and you named your mom as the beneficiary of the life insurance policy. Flash forward 25 years, and you're married with three children, and mom's still the beneficiary on the life insurance policy. This could be a lot of fun. A good exercise could be really exciting. I also suggest that people go check their unclaimed property. Make sure your name has no unclaimed property. It's amazing how many people have unclaimed property out there. To do that, you go on, you know, if you're a Pennsylvania resident, Google PA unclaimed property, and you're going to go to the Pennsylvania Department of Revenue website, search your name for unclaimed property. For New Jersey, it takes you to kind of like a national site, and you can say you're New Jersey and search for property. You don't have to pay people money to find unclaimed property. You can do it yourself. So the what. You want to do the who, what, why, when, where, and how. The what is take an inventory of assets, liabilities, and insurances. You'd be surprised how many times we find out that a mortgage might be in only one spouse's name. It might not be joint. All depends. You got to do an inventory to find out. Let's talk about the where. You need to think about the where in a number of aspects. The where of your twilight years and your long-term care living arrangements. So the where might be, I might not be in Pennsylvania when I am in my twilight years. Do you live in a state where there is an inheritance tax like Pennsylvania? New Jersey has an inheritance tax as well. If assets are going to lineal descendants or parents, it's zero. But if in New Jersey you're giving assets to siblings, it's a different rate. And someone other than siblings, it's even another rate. So it could be 11% to siblings, I believe, and I think up to 15% to someone other than siblings. New Jersey also has an estate tax for this year, and it's going to get phased out, I believe, in 2017. The threshold goes from $675,000 to $2 million. And in 2018, I believe they've abolished the New Jersey estate tax. So for people in New Jersey, you still might have to pay attention for a little while longer. Because even though you might not be subject to an inheritance tax, if you're passing assets to your children, you might be subject to New Jersey estate tax for another year or so, this year and a little bit next year. So you want to pay attention to where you might end up. A lot of states don't have an inheritance tax anymore. That might make sense for someone to move to another state. Maybe you have property, real estate in another state. So the where might be where you're living, where you're planning on living. It might be where your assets are. What if you have real estate in another state? How does your executor administer that? So you want in that what statement, that inventory of your assets and liabilities, you also want to not only talk about how assets are titled in the beneficiary designations, let's make a note of where they are, because your power of attorney or your executor, they might not know where all your assets are. So someone better know. And you also better trust those people that you're going to let know. You know, sometimes people might make sure their attorney knows all this, give a list to the attorney at least. If you're afraid to tell someone, you know, while you're alive, that they might, you know, come get your stuff, you could at least make sure your attorney knows. So you want to think about the where of where you are, where your beneficiaries are, where your people are, where your power of attorney might be, like our caller earlier, Megan. She has one here and she has a backup in Illinois. You want to understand the where for all of these different aspects of the who and the what. All right? So let's pay attention to that. And then we want to talk about the how. So the how in our estate planning is getting help from your trusted advisors. And you really need to do an in-depth review, which will allow opportunities to develop or strategies that need to be implemented to, you know, thwart, mitigate, avoid the confusion and consequences of improper planning or lack of planning. Our caller earlier, Mike, I believe it was, with the blended family, it's just astounding to me how so many people maybe fear the planning, but if you do the proper planning and actually have conversations and discussions about it, it really alleviates a lot of the problems that could crop up that you're afraid are going to happen. You're afraid they're going to happen, so you don't address them or talk about them or take care of them because it just seems so overwhelming. When in fact, if you take the steps to process it all, work it out, crunch the numbers, get everything aligned properly, that's your opportunity to avoid the problems, the very problems you're afraid of will be avoided. So as we go through the last part of the show, we are going to talk about the how. And then at the end, I'm going to hopefully tell you a simple way to remember how to get this done. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Thanks, Jeff. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. If you have questions, we can talk live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. If you're off air, you just give your question to Lori C. in the studio. She'll write it down, bring it in. Love talking to people on air, and I love questions. Bill from Easton, you called in earlier off air, and I hope we are going to be able to answer some of the necessary things to do. I hope I've already answered some of those, but I'm going to go through a little bit more detail, and hopefully you'll find some steps or things that you can do through the next few minutes where we're going to talk about the how. So again, if folks have questions, phone number is 610-758-8810. So we've talked about the who. We have talked about the what. We have talked about the where. The why and the when. The when is now. And let's talk about the how now. So we've talked about getting some trusted advisors together because sometimes you don't always know what you don't know. So when I talk about that, and I did a whole show once on what you don't know can hurt you, it is surprising how many people think that if they don't have a will, everything's going to go to their spouse. Not true. How many people think that their will is going to be how all the assets get split? Not true. So it's sometimes what we don't know. So that's why we want to work with trusted advisors, family members, people that we think can help us through this process. So let me put the bullet points here. So the who is your beneficiaries, executors, trustees, attorneys, advisors, decision makers. So Bill, for example, in my caller earlier, is one of 11 children, and his 98-year-old mom lives with him. He is a decision maker. But he may have his hands tied in some decisions that he can make if he doesn't have the proper documents. So we're going to talk about that. The what is the assets, the liabilities, insurance, and health. The health, what do you mean by that? Well, We need to know, what are someone's wishes and desires? Do they want someone to pull the plug? Do they not? Do they want water? Do they want drugs? What is it that they are hoping for? So the what: assets, liabilities, insurance, health. The where. The where is the location of the assets, location of your important papers, possibly account numbers, websites, passwords, beneficiaries. Where are your beneficiaries? Do they live all over the country? I have had cases where someone will own large pieces of real estate and they say, well, I want to give it to my kids. Well, if the child lives in California, they may not care to have 2 acres in Lehigh County. So you want to know where your beneficiaries are in your planning and if it makes sense with some of the assets that you may be wanting to give them. Maybe one child is local and one child is in another state, and maybe the one child would love to have that beach house or that little house on the lake. Well, let's keep that in mind when we're doing the planning. And are there other ways to equalize, or assets to equalize? Or maybe they really don't want it and you thought they did. So we want to talk about the where, the location of assets, important papers, beneficiaries, and your agents. Where's your power of attorney? Where's your health, your agent who's helping with your health directives? Where is your executor? Where is your trustee? Who are these people? Do you need to have co-executors, co-trustees, successor trustees, successor executors? Let's follow all those threads through. Bill, for example, what if something happens to you? What is mom going to do? Who's next on the totem pole of the other siblings? Who's going to help take care of things? So it's not just about that person. It's about what your responsibilities are as well. The when, now, and ongoing periodic reviews. This is something that a lot of people forget about. I totally believe in doing enough planning to give you the most options and the most flexibility. In fact, I just had a conversation with someone tonight talking about the possibility that the federal estate tax could be eliminated. Well, they can eliminate it and the next administration can bring it back. So you always want planning to be flexible and allow your executor or trustee to have that flexibility should legislation change, such that they can be nimble in meeting your wishes and desires. A lot of times people used to do more estate planning around saving estate taxes, but the federal estate tax exemption has gone up so high that so many people aren't even subject to federal estate tax anymore, and therefore they think they don't need to do estate planning. Well, number one, estate planning isn't around just managing taxes. It's around managing the assets for your heirs and providing for your heirs. And in Pennsylvania, we still do have an inheritance tax. So there is still some reasons for doing estate planning for taxes, but it's not just for that. So keep that in mind. So you want to do the periodic review. So flexible documents give you enough options. It's not just the documents. It's also the asset titling and the beneficiary designations. You want to make sure it's all coordinated. You want to tell your attorney everything so that they know how it's all coordinating together. And ongoing periodic reviews. Because let's pretend in your will you say, I want to give $50,000 to Johnny, and I want to give him $50,000 cash because I'm giving Susie my IRA. And my IRA is $50,000. Well, you know, years go by and you had $50,000 of cash in the bank that was going to go to Johnny, you have $50,000 to IRA. And while you're alive, you start taking all the money out of the IRA. There's nothing left for Susie. The $50,000 cash in the bank is going to go to Johnny because Susie, in essence, gets cut out. So you've got to be careful how you're using beneficiary designations and asset titling if you're doing that to kind of equalize children, or in the example with Mike, blended families, because those numbers could change. So you simply want to do periodic reviews, ongoing reviews as well. All right. The how, The how is in the documents. So, Bill, we want to make sure if needed, either you want asset titling on any accounts that mom has so that if something happens to her, you know, if she doesn't have a will, you don't want that to go to intestate. So at least joint titling might help with that. But we can't give specific recommendations to someone's situation we don't know. But these are just some options. You have the will done, power of attorney, healthcare directives, a living will for mom. Those are the things you probably want to make sure you take care of right away while she has the cognitive ability to do so as well. All right. I hope that helps. And do that inventory. So the who, the what, the why, the where, and how. Now, I want to give people, I'm hoping, a simple way to remember this. And so that you also keep it at the forefront of your mind if you have not done any planning thus far. I want it to hound you, attack you, tickle at you. You can't get it out of your mind. You're going to have such guilt over not doing your estate planning. So, and what you're going to be thinking about is me on Thanksgiving when you're cutting a pie. So what am I talking about? I want to make this simple as pie. Don't they say easy as pie, Jeff? I think easy as pie. Easy as pie. Well, another word for easy is simple. So I'm going to make it simple as pie. Simple. S-I-M-P-L-E. S. Say you will do it. That's the number one thing. So for your estate planning, you have to say you're going to do it. At a minimum, I like people to do that inventory of their assets, check your asset titling, check your beneficiary designations. At a minimum, at least that is stuff that you can control. If you haven't taken the time to go get your documents done with an attorney, at least look at your asset titling and your beneficiary designations. And your beneficiary designations, I'm talking about your primary beneficiaries and your contingent beneficiaries in case your primary, something happens to them. Primary beneficiaries can also do something called a disclaimer, say they don't want it, and then the contingent beneficiary would step in. Where that is sometimes helpful is, let's pretend you have no children, no family, you have your mom, and you name mom as the primary beneficiary, but mom doesn't really want the money. You're gone, she's inherited this money, she doesn't really want it, and you had a charity listed as a contingent beneficiary. Mom could say, I disclaim it, I don't want it, and then the contingent beneficiary steps in and gets it. So that's just an example. You want to think through all the threads, follow them out. Simple. Say you'll do it. At a minimum, check your beneficiary designations and your asset titling. I, take an inventory of your assets and liabilities. Inventory. So S is say you'll do it. I is inventory. M is management provisions. Who are your managers? Who's your executor? Who's your trustee? Who's your power of attorney? Keeping in mind the who and the where as you're thinking of the M. Management is what is your executor going to do? Who are they going to be? Trustee, powers of attorney. P. P is for people, which is your heirs or your charities. Heirs or charities. L is location, the location of your inventory, the location of your management people, meaning your executor, trustee, power of attorney, agent, and your people, your beneficiaries. Think about their locations, all the locations of your assets, location of your executors, powers of attorney, and the location of your people. And E, execute. E is execute. Execute a plan to get this done. So simple. Say you'll do it. I, inventory. M, management. P, people or charities. L, location. E, execute. Get this done. And remember, this is just one piece of the pie. So I want you to watch out for how this one piece of the pie fits into your overall financial pie. Your overall financial pie, the financial elements are your cash flow, your investments, your taxes, your risk management, and your retirement planning. This is one piece and they all fit together. If you're doing your estate planning, you're talking about beneficiary designations, that also impacts retirement planning. So you want to make sure you're putting all of that together. So on Thanksgiving, when you're cutting that piece of pie, if you haven't already done your estate planning, think of me. Think of taking care of that pie and especially think of taking care of that estate planning piece of the pie. Now, Joan from Bethlehem called off air, and she asked, what is Per-Stirpes? Per-Stirpes is a designation that says, if I give something to my daughter, Per-Stirpes, and my daughter has dies as well, I die, my daughter has died, and I didn't know if my daughter was going to have any children, Per-Stirpes would say to her further descendants. So Per-Stirpes is, if I die, I give this to my daughter, Per-Stirpes, if she has children and she has died, it would go to her children. Per capita is per head. So if I say to my daughter, per capita, and she dies, it would go to my other children. It goes across. So Per-Stirpes is kind of down the chain. So we use that sometimes in the contingent beneficiary designations, or the, I might say, my spouse is my primary, my daughter is contingent, Per-Stirpes, in case she ends up having children, it would go to her or her heirs. So great question, Joan. Thanks for calling in with that. So make sure you understand the who, what, why, when, where, and how of estate planning. And if you end up having any questions, you can reach us at yourfinancialchoices.com. Next week is Thanksgiving. We're going to have a pre-recorded show. After that, I'm going to return on December 6th talking about what to expect in tax changes for 2017. We have coming up next Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. I want to thank Jeff and Lori and all of our listeners and callers tonight with their questions. Love it. Stay tuned for, did I say stay tuned already? Stay tuned for In the Tradition. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.